That's much better. Well, it's great seeing you guys this morning. Last week, I spent a reasonable amount of time reviewing the vision of CORE and what the vision is and how to get involved. And so I want to encourage you, if you weren't there last week, to listen to the talk on the website or actually spend time engaging with the website, because the website tells you who we are, what we're about, what we do, and how you get involved. And we want people to be participators in what God's doing in the church, not just observers. So I want to really encourage you to find out, to begin to grapple with it, because God has called us for a time such as this. And so this morning, I'm getting mixed with evening and morning because it kind of blends into one after a while. This week I'm looking at one of the values of CORE, which is a central value, and that is of worship. And I'm going to say something about that in a sec. But before I do, I'm just going to pray. So Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this opportunity to come together to worship you. And I want to pray now that you would release your wisdom and sharpen these words, that they fulfill the purpose which you sent it. I pray that you would teach us more and more about what it means to worship you in spirit and truth, and that we would be a church that is pleasing to you, Lord, as we learn to please you. In Jesus' name, amen. A few years ago, I had a dream, and I'm not Martin Luther King, by the way, and I had this dream, and I was walking down a corridor. And as I was walking down the corridor, I saw these different doors. And each door had a name of a different religion. And as I was walking along, I was wondering why there wasn't anything with Christianity on it. So being quite a person who likes to find out what's going on, I kind of pushed the doors open. And as I opened the door, the room was just completely bare. And I went to another room and it was completely bare. And then I went to another room and it was completely bare. But what was interesting about each room, that at the end of the room was a balcony. And the balcony overlooked this huge expanse. And I walked over the balcony and looked, and I just couldn't believe how big this expanse was. And then I looked up, and as I looked up, I began to see this mountain. And this mountain was going right into the clouds, and it was absolutely huge. And as I had seen that dream, I found in Micah 4 and Isaiah 2, it says this: "In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and peoples will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths.' The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." And you see, we're living in the last days now. This is the last days. It's between when God will fulfill everything and there'll be a new heaven and earth. And we're moving towards that period of time. But in the meantime, God is establishing his authority and power as chief among the mountains. It's not that God's authority and power has gone away. It's that man will begin to recognize it as God becomes chief among the mountains. It says around it, all the little mountains around it. And the invitation in this particular text is, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. And the invitation is to encounter the living God. And as we respond to God's invitation, he will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. And so God is inviting us to his mountain. Secondly, the invitation is to encounter the living God. It says this in Hebrews, as Rob said, "But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly." You see, in the new covenant, God gives us access to heaven's worship for what Christ has done upon the cross. He's given us access to the heavenlies. And we've been invited to join with those worshipping God noon and night, to come and join with them in worshipping Jesus. We often make the mistake, we kind of think, well, Jesus joins with us, but actually, we join with him. It says this: "Once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens." The words "once more" indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. You see, we love, as rightly so, we love it when God turns up, don't we? It's the most amazing thing when we're in the presence of God. But I believe that God has been leading us and is leading us into a time of shaking. I think many of us here can testify to that in our lives, can't we? There's a whole lot of shaking going on. And I know from being with people, talking to people, God is taking away those things that are not of Him. The false foundations, the things that we thought were true. And He's taking us right down to the rock, which is Jesus Christ alone. And He's taking us through a refining process, because we have to prepare the way for the Lord. It says this: if any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. And we've really much seen over the last year and a half the work of the gardener, haven't we? John 15, the true vine. In the story, in the parable of the gardener cuts off anything that does not bear fruit, but he cuts back anything that does bear fruit. So whatever happens, there's a pruning process that goes on. So it's shaking, it's pruning, it's preparing for the way of the Lord. It says this in Haggai. This is the kind of the motif that goes from Haggai, which then picked up in Hebrews. It says this: in a little while I once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I'll shake all nations, and the desire of all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. Before the Lord comes to town, He shakes everything up. Because it's the most amazing thing to come into the presence of God, but it's also a terrifying thing. He's a consuming fire. And it says that what he says, therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. And He's on His way. He's going to come to this place like never before. But in the meantime, there's a lot of shaking going on. There's a lot of pruning going on. But it's for His glory. And I just encourage you, keep going with it. Keep going with it. Keep going with it. Because you will come out of the end of it. If you turn with me to Revelation 4 very briefly, it says this: after this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I'll show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven, with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembled an emerald encircling the throne. Then it talks about the 24 elders with their crowns being thrown down, and it gives you many more dimensions to it. But the thing about this particular passage, it gives us an inclination of where God wants us to be. Firstly, there's an open heaven. Why is there an open heaven? Well, God wants us to see what's going on in heaven. The voice that had spoken early on in Revelation to John at the beginning has spoken to him. It comes to him like a trumpet. The invitation is, come up here and I'll show you what must take place. It says, at once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And you see, there's a window, there's a door open in heaven, but it's by the Spirit that God reveals His Son. And it's through the Spirit that God gives us a glimpse of heaven. He opens the door of heaven. The Spirit reveals Jesus. And as God opens the heaven's door, we're going to enter into a dynamic worship that we have not experienced before. We will hear the sounds of heaven. We will see the colors. We will see the movement. Space and time will be infused with heavenly aroma. We are invited to join with heaven in their worship of the King. It says, but you have come to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. And I'll speak a little bit more about that, about the worship in a minute. But Jesus says this about worship: yet a time is coming, and it's now come, which is now, when the true worshippers will be worshipped the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. So God is looking for true worshippers. What are they defined as? Those who worship him in spirit and truth. Why do they worship God in spirit? Because God is spirit. True worship is in spirit and truth. It is shaped by scripture, which is God's truth, and we're led into all truth by the Holy Spirit. See, it's the Holy Spirit that makes Jesus known to us. It says this: I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and make it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. So the Holy Spirit makes Jesus known to us. God's Word, the Scripture, God's truth also makes Jesus known to us. The revelation of Jesus comes through his Word. Jesus, speaking to the people on the road to Emmaus, said this: this is what I told you while I was with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. See, the word of God unlocks the truth about God. And so the kind of worship the Father seeks is both spirit and truth. The spirit brings the freedom of God. The truth brings the definition of God. And in one sense, it's very much like an eagle. We need them in balance. We need the spirit here and we need the word here. If we emphasize too much on the spirit, we lose the definition and we can become all cloudy and everything's how I feel. If we go too far on the side of the word, we become cold and harsh and legalistic. But when the two come together, it's like dynamite. It's like the eagle can fly on the thermals. It knows how to go to the high places, because as the Lord leads, spirit and truth, spirit and truth, spirit and truth, spirit and truth, spirit and truth. Worship, to our surprise, is not about us, it's actually God initiated. It says this: this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Jesus reached out his hand first. It wasn't anything to do with us. It was his idea, it was his invitation. But worship is our response to God's revelation of himself, which he reveals to himself through his spirit and through his truth. In the same way the eagle responds to wind, we learn to respond to God's love. In the same way that a flower opens up the warm rays of the sun, we open up in the presence of God, and we blossom, and we begin to take on the family likeness. And it's like with Lizak. I mean, I love him to bits, and he loves me to bits. And together, you love him, and he responds to you. And then he responds to you, and you just begin to, this love grows and grows. And that's the same with God. He invites us into relationship, we respond. He invites us in further, we respond. He invites us in deeper, and we respond. How deep is the Father's love? I mean, it's just endless. So his encounter and his presence is endless. And it's a shame if we only get the little bit, rather than his compassionate, consuming love for each one of us. Love grows, the revelation of God grows, as we take time to bask in God's presence. And at the end of June, I've spent 5 days out in Israel, as you do. And there was a worship conference out in Israel, in Jerusalem, and there's a couple of worship leaders there, a guy called Kevin Prosh, another one called David Roos, and part of the reason I went out there, one was to have a bit of time out, just to hang out with the Lord, and just to be away from everything, and just to sort of be, you know, just be with the Lord. But the other thing was that God said to me before I went there, I want you to remember. So I thought, what do I need to remember? And over these last few months, what he's asked me to remember is that before Kath and I came to CORE, we were very much involved with worship. We've been worshiping, we've been leading worship all over the place. And the thing that God's really put in my heart is the prophetic worship, through the sounds, through I mean, I just can't wait to start doing these things. But I felt the Lord has said it's time to get back involved in the worship. And so I went out to Israel really to spend time just beginning to do that. So I went to this conference and I flew out from Dublin on whatever day it was, landed in London. As I landed at Heathrow Airport, my flight was delayed, so I had to spend the whole night sleeping on the Heathrow Airport floor. And I don't know about you, you watch the news and you see people going off on their holidays and you see them all queuing because there's a baggage strike or something, and you kind of think, oh, poor old them. Well, I was one of them. And it's one of those nights where I just had to lie on the floor. And it's one of those things, you have to make a decision. You either embrace it or you moan about it. And I thought, well, I might as well get a good night's sleep. So I got a blanket and got a cup of coffee and had a reasonable night's sleep. It wasn't great, but it wasn't bad. Anyway, so got up in the morning, rebooked my flight, got onto the plane, and then they lost my luggage. So I had a whole 5 days in Israel with no luggage. And so they gave me like a little pack that lasts about half an hour. It's got about enough toothpaste to clean about 3 teeth. A bit of deodorant to kind of like just to dab on. And so basically I arrived with a bit of hand luggage and that was it. But I thought, well, you know, I feel the Lord's called me to come out of here. So I'm just going to go and I'm just going to enjoy it. So I went out and bought a bit of deodorant. And then I thought, well, I can just wash my clothes at night, dry them out and wear them in the morning. So I thought, 5 days of the same t-shirt, but at least it's clean. So I thought, well, I'm just going to enjoy this. So anyway, that night I arrived, no luggage, quite tired because I've been sleeping on the floor. And I walked down from my hotel into Jerusalem, into the old town. I walked by the wall. I looked over towards Mount Zion. I thought, my gosh, what on earth am I doing here? And then when I got there, wherever I went, I kept seeing eagles. I looked up in the sky, there'd be an eagle. I'd walk along a road and someone would be turning around, there'd be an eagle on their back. I went to see a monastery out there, and as I got there, there was eagles all standing outside the monastery. I came home to put some TV on as a program about eagles. Everywhere I went, I saw eagles. And before I went, I preached about eagles. And so I thought, well, what are you saying there, Lord? What is it about eagles? Why have you called me here? And the first thing was that the eagle for me represents something of the spirit, something of the freedom that we have in Christ. But for an eagle to be effective, everything has to be stripped away. And I was there in Jerusalem with nothing. I couldn't take anything with me because I had nothing with me. It's all with British Airways and their luggage claim hall. And so the eagle is a sign and symbol of freedom in Christ. The eagle is one that goes up and sees things as they really are. And God is inviting us to see, to be, to enjoy being led by the Spirit. To see by the Spirit, to see the things of God. And I've told this story before, but when I worked for a period of time in Luton, and I used to go to this place called the Downs. And on the Downs, I used to go walking, and there were all these gliders that I used to see flying in the sky. And when I used to look up at them, I used to remind again of the eagle, because they're very much, very similar. You look for the thermals, you find where the wind is, and when you hit the wind, you begin to climb up, and you begin to go to the high places. And when I was looking up, I then looked down, and as I looked down, I looked into a field full of boxes. And these are like small sheds which contained the gliders. But there were gliders in them, and then as I looked at them, I felt the Lord say, they're not doing what they're meant to be doing. They're stuck in a box. They're meant to be free. They're meant to be being blown by the wind. But they're stuck in their boxes. They haven't stepped out. They have no freedom. They're not being what God has called them to be. And I felt the Lord says, it's time to get out of the box. And that includes in our worship. Letting the Spirit lead us, being open to the breeze, being led heavenward, as I put in the talk here, to be led where eagles dare. And a friend of mine gave me a picture of, he had a dream, and there's a man on a mountain, and a high mountain, and there's a mountain of the Lord, and he's holding on, he's full of fear. But there's a young man who's leaping on the mountain, he had no fear. He was enjoying the freedom he had in Christ. And that is the invitation to us today, the invitation to freedom in Christ, to rise up on the healing wings. Those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. What will they be like? They'll be like eagles. What are eagles like? They're free. They blow by the wind. And you see, the Lord has been showing me over the years his desire to expand the canvas so that God has more space to paint his pictures on. And worship is an area that I believe God wants to expand our understanding of it. It says in Psalm 40, verse 3, "He put a new song in my mouth, the hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and put their trust in God." When I was out in America, I used to go take a band out once a month, this drug rehab place. And we used to go along there with a band, and we would just go have coffee with the guys, and then we'd just lead a time of worship. So we'd just play a few worship songs, and the guys there would just kind of be sitting there to start with. But one day we're worshiping, and suddenly the Spirit of the Lord started moving upon the worship. He started stirring up the room. You could feel the tangible presence of God in that space. And as I was leading the worship, I had a time of quiet, and someone kind of tugged me and said, "Is it okay if I say something?" And you never quite know what people are going to say. But I felt in the spirit that I should trust the person who's going to say. He's one of the guys who was on the drug rehab place. And he said to me, he said, "Is it right if I say something?" So I said, "Yeah, you can say something." He said, "Because I came here, never really knew anything about God or Jesus or about whatever you've been singing about. But today, I can feel him in this place." He goes, "Jesus is in this place." And so I thought it was a great opportunity maybe to invite people forward to receive Jesus for the first time. And about 40 of them came forward that evening to receive Jesus. "He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and put their trust in the Lord." So that's part of worship in the place of, in the marketplace, in the clubs, in the places where the people, because when you worship the Lord, he draws others to himself. And I've seen it happen many, many times. It says in Psalm 49, "My mouth will speak words of wisdom. The utterance from my heart will give understanding. I'll turn my ear to a proverb, and with the harp I'll expound my riddle." An unusual thing, isn't it? God will reveal his truth through the song, through music. He makes things known that are not known. Riddles become known through worship, through singing, through music. It's a new one, isn't it? And I was leading worship in a place called Southall. And Southall, if you know much about London, is predominantly an Indian area. It's very, very... and we went to a church... Well, actually, it was the first and last time we went to the church because we were banned after that. But we were very welcome to start with anyway. So we had a morning where we had a time of worship, and a lot of Indian people, and the music we were singing and playing over people was a bit kind of traditional Western music, and it wasn't kind of where they're coming from. And so in the afternoon, I thought, well, I just prayed about it, and so. My sister's a great keyboard player, and I've got a brother who's a really good guitarist, and me. And I just felt the Lord say, "I just want you to begin to play over these people." And so we had the keyboard going, and then I've got these sounds I can get on my guitar. I can get sounds of like chords, and get sounds of waterfalls and rain and all that kind of stuff. And we began to play over these people, and we began to ask the Lord to release his sounds, so that in that place, God would really be able to communicate with them, would really be able to lock where these people are coming from. And suddenly the God began to move. And I remember opening my eyes, and suddenly everybody was lying on the floor in the presence of God. Except for the vicar, sorry. But hey, we got banned, so there you go. He was very polite, but we were never invited back again. But it's just amazing seeing the power of God move through the sounds and the dimensions that become open to you. I led worship with another lady once, and we led us worship once in a very small gathering. And suddenly all these sounds turned up in the room that where do they come from? Suddenly we were worshipping with heaven. And that's what the Lord wants us to, He wants to open up the possibilities. I've seen colour that makes sound. What? Hello? And then God reveals himself through creation. It says God's invisible qualities revealed through creation. So God's character and nature are shown through his creation. So one of the things we've been doing, or we're doing, where we're mixing live sounds, like things of creation, like the rain, like waterfalls, like the sound of the wind, and mixing it through worship, because you're giving back to God that which he's already created. And as we've begun to do that, again, the Lord turns up, and the dimensions of worship I've encountered through doing that is just absolutely extraordinary. We had one time, I've got some friends of mine who were in Luton, actually here with us today, but we had an evening once, I was invited to lead worship, and I only started with one song, and that was it for the whole evening. And the presence of the Lord came when we began to just play the sound, and about ministering to the Lord. And it's such a powerful evening that I heard people from all over the country heard about it. I'm not saying that anything to do with it, but because God was doing something in that place. It's nothing to do with any of us, but because the people just, you know, people, when you hear the things of heaven, everyone wants to hear about it. And so what I'm encouraging is that we begin to, it's the whole thing of the eagle, isn't it? To wait on the Lord, God's word and his truth, leading us up into the high places, but also releasing us into freedom that we've never known before. And that's what's great today, just ministering, wasn't it? Why shouldn't we just minister when God ministers? Why shouldn't we just do this and do that? And I think that's what we'll be moving into, because we've got to do it God's way. It's so boring our way, isn't it? Last Monday, or 2 months ago, at the Hot House, I said to you before, we had a group of people with a prophetic gifting, and they emailed me saying, would it be okay to come to your church? And I didn't know anything about them, but I didn't feel they shouldn't come. So I said to them, why don't you come along to the Hot House and join with us in the prayer? And they came along, and they were lovely, lovely people, and they're from Liverpool. They, in the middle of the time of prayer, they said, well, is it okay if we share something? I said, that's actually fine, go for it. And they said, can we minister to you? And so they ministered to us about 2 hours, or whatever it was. It's quite a long time. But the most amazing thing, it's just like we were so unexpected. But God blessed every single person there, because we just made ourselves available for what God wanted to do. And that's what God is inviting us to do, is the invitation to the mountain. It's the invitation to the place of encounter. It's the invitation to go where eagles dare. Where do they go? They go to the high places. How do you get to the high places? Well, God leads us there. It's not that we love God, it's that he loved us, and it's in our response to him. As we respond to him, we love him, he responds to us. And we begin to go deeper and deeper into God's love. I also believe that God wants to release the arts in a new dimension, in a way that we have not seen. We started in a very basic way with the creative space, looking at looking at worship in a more creative way, through drama, through whatever we do, lots of through paintings, through things like that. But so many things we've hardly touched upon. But I really believe that's something that God has called us to as a church, because we have many, many creative people here. And it's one of the things the Lord said, that you'll know the language of the city. And one of the languages of the city here is the art and music. And we really want to develop that in this place as an expression of worship to God. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. And the call today is to be stripped away. It's the refining process. There's a lot of shaking going on. There's a lot of pruning going on. But it's so that you and me can fly like eagles. And he wants to lead us where eagles dare. So let's stand. So, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you that your ways aren't our ways. Thank you, Lord, that your ways are higher than ours. And I thank you that you want to teach us your ways and lead us in your paths. We thank you, Lord, for the invitation to encounter the living God. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us, Lord, for our own protection, Lord, of your holiness and of your power. And Lord, I want to pray for all those today who are going through difficult times, where it seems it's going to go on forever. But it's not. But you have to go through the refining, because preparation for the coming of the King. So the Lord is going to fill this place with his glory like never before. And he's preparing us as a people for the glory of the Lord to come in this place. And it's going to come like fire. But it's not for us alone, it's for those who do not know him. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your body and soul, and love your brother as yourself. Worship always demands a response of love to those who do not know God, and a response of love to each other. Without the two together, a worship is invalid. And so I just want you, like an eagle, just to put your arms out. I'm just inviting the Spirit to come afresh, like the fresh thermals. And the invitation is for you to outstretch your wings and let the Lord lead and guide you. And to do it his way. It's his way. It's his way. It's his way. And again, I always get to my left hand when it's a healing thing. I can just feel the tingling there. And we want to also pray for any of those who weren't prayed for earlier on. I also want to pray for those who are going through particularly difficult times and you think that will never end. Well, I just feel the Lord is going to want to minister to you. He wants to minister you his healing power. He wants you to know that thing out of Malachi. He wants you to rise with healing in your wings. And today is the day. So I want to invite any of you who, I want to invite you now so we can pray for you. Any of you is going through a difficult time and think that it will never go away. But the Lord wants to release healing in your wings. So I want to invite you now to come forward so we can pray for you. I also want to invite for anyone else who, for whatever it is that you want to be healed for, to come forward so that we can pray for you, because the spirit of healing is in this place today, as it is whenever we pray, but particularly today. So I want to invite you to come forward so that we can pray for you. And so I also want to invite those who are of the ministry team to come forward as well. I want to invite particularly those who've got a bad back in any way, because I believe the Lord wants to strengthen it, wants to relieve the pain of it, and particularly lower back. So I just kind of just sense that the Lord wants to do the back. It's one of the things he wants to do. So if I can just welcome just some more of the ministry team just to come and minister God's Spirit upon God's people. Thank you, Father. So Lord Jesus, we want to pray now that you would come by your Spirit upon your people, Lord, your sons and daughters, Lord, in whom you delight in. We pray now that you would come in a fresh way, Lord. Just send the wind of your Spirit now, Lord. Let it come. Thank you, Father. Let it come. More of you, Lord. More of you. 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 And sometimes when you come to presence, it's a bit like melting. It's a bit like being in snow and feeling slightly frozen. It's like you've got to go with it. Because as you do, it's like the Spirit of the Lord begins to melt and you begin to relax. begin to move, you begin to forget the cold, and you begin to embrace God's love and His power. So I want to encourage you, if you're feeling God's far from me, well, He's not, He's here. He's just melting the snow. Melting all those things which have gone cold. And He's bringing His love and His light into your lives today. And so while Peter will be ministered to, I'm going to say a final prayer for those who need to go and be with their family. There's tea and coffee after the service. And I'm just going to read this prayer, which I love here. It says this: May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing His will, and may work in us what is pleasing to Him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.